special this morning, and appreciate the words in that song as well. Let's take our Bibles, if we could, this morning, and let's turn to the Gospel of John, if we could. The Gospel of John, and we'll look at the 11th chapter in just a moment. We've come to the final message in our I Am series. We've looked at I am the bread of life, I am the vine, the light of the world, I am the door, I am the good shepherd, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And this morning I want us to look at I am the resurrection and the life. We're going to read chapter 11. We'll read most of the chapter here just to get context for our message. Verse number one, the Bible says, "Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters said unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days, still in the same place where he was." Now, it almost sounds like a contradiction there. He loved Lazarus so much, he didn't rush to see him. He was on his deathbed, didn't rush to see him. And as you read this, you might think that doesn't make sense. The Bible says in verse 7, "Then after that saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Masters, the Jews of late sought to stone thee. And goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of the world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he. After that, he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may wake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly," sometimes you got to be direct with people, "Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him." Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, the doubting Thomas we know from later in the story of Christ, he said unto his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, "Lord," it's what we all were thinking, "if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee." Jesus said unto her, "Thy brother shall rise again." Martha saith unto him, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Now here it is, verse 25. Jesus saith unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way, and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The Master is come, and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, following her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. We have the shortest verse in the Bible, verse 35 in the English language, not the shortest in the Greek language, but verse 35 says, Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them could not, some said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? In other words, couldn't Jesus heal this man? Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou wouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I know that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, Loose him and let him go. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your wonderful blessings, the opportunity we have to be able to study your scriptures. And we're grateful this morning that your word is a living book, that, Lord, it has power to change our lives. No matter where we've been, you are able to save from the uttermost. And Lord, we are grateful for its power and its truth. And I pray, Lord, that your word would convict hearts this morning. I pray, Lord, that your spirit would do what I cannot do. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to make good decisions that would honor you. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. A preacher tells a story of a young preacher named Bob that asked if he would go by an older man's house and talk to this older man about Jesus. The older man had only a few days to live, and he wanted to make sure that he had hope for eternity. The preacher agreed to go, and they knocked on the older man's door, and the man welcomed him into his home. And the preacher began to talk to him about Christ. He trusted Christ as a Savior moments later. The young preacher, who seemingly was full of life and And Vitality was having lunch with his wife, and after the meal, he got up from the table, and Bob started across the living room, and then he took a final gasp, and he fell dead in his living room. He told the preacher that the older man only had a few days to live. The older man actually lived for many more years. It was that young preacher who actually only had a few days to live. In our text here this morning, we are confronted with an ugly word, death. Death. It's not a subject that we want to talk about, but unfortunately, it is reality. The fact of death is certain. The time of death is uncertain. We are all under what I believe, as David described, the shadow of death. Now, the reality is that people fear death. So many in our world today fear death. Man is the only creature, someone said, who knows he is going to die and desperately is trying to forget it. I mean, mention death and people will change the subject as fast as they can. But there is something we have to understand. The Bible teaches us that all of us one day will die. You see, not only do people fear death, but here's the thing. People also hate life. Think about it for just a moment. Consider some views of life in our world today. One person said this: youth is a blunder, manhood a struggle, old age a regret. This was their view of life. William Shakespeare said, life is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. What he said. Someone said, life is not a spectacle or a feast, it's a predicament. Samuel Butler said, life is one long process of getting tired. The French would say something like this: life is an onion, one cries while peeling it. Some college students were asked to write a paper on life, and they were defining what life was. And this was their answers, these college students. This is what they said. They said, life is a joke that isn't even funny. They said, life is a disease for which the only cure is death. One of the young people said, life is a jail sentence that we get for the crime of being born. This was their opinion of life. The philosophy of Dr. Death himself, the infamous Jack Kevorkian, was chilling in his bluntness and his opinion of death. He expounded on this view of life when asked about religion and faith, and this is what he said. He said, people like us base their whole outlook on mythology. I have my own God, and that God is me. I do what I want, when I want, how I want, and no one else decides that for me. And then this is what he said. He says, why not? You invent gods, unless he, my God, is not invented. This was his view of life. Now, I want to give you another individual's view of life, and it is Jesus. And this is what he says in John 10, verse 10. He said, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. You know, there are people today who have just existence and not life. They live their life from day to day and they fear death and they hate life and they have a mixed up view of what life is all about. People have this thing backwards, living their life without Jesus. A life without Christ is live spelled backwards, and that is evil. And having lived your life without Christ is lived spelled backwards, and that's devil. The reality is, think about this for just a moment. Jesus wants you to have life, but not just have life, life more abundantly. This is his view of life. And Satan is a thief, and he wants to rob you of your life. He wants to kill and steal and destroy your life. Now the question is, who are you going to listen to? Are you going to listen to Dr. Death, or are you going to listen to the Lord of Life? Our context is pretty simple. In the early chapter, Jesus was notified of the sickness of his friend Lazarus. Lazarus was his beloved friend from Bethany, the brother of Mary and Martha, in verses 1 and 3. And even though Lazarus eventually died, Jesus delayed going to Bethany, verses 4 to verse 16. Now, the primary concern of our Savior in our text in chapter 11 is for the glory of God. And we notice that these circumstances come into the life of Lazarus that God's glory could be seen. I want us to look at this text here as we think about Jesus, the I Am, the resurrection and the life, and notice their connection here. First of all, can we think about this, a life lifted from loss? A life lifted from loss. This is what the I Am Declaration is teaching us. Now let's break it down if we could. First of all, we notice our condition. John 11, verse 14, then said Jesus unto them plainly, notice this expression, Lazarus is dead. This is sad news. This is poignant. It's blunt, but it's reality. Lazarus is dead. Now, spiritually, Lazarus, I believe, represents a multitude of people that we come in contact every single day. They may be nice people. They might be dressed sharply. They might be friendly. But understand this. If they don't know Jesus, they are dead spiritually. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, the Bible says this, and you have he quickened, the word quickened means to be made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin. This was the condition of an individual before Jesus Christ came into their heart and life, before they chose Christ, the giver of life. The Bible says that they were dead. The Bible says they were dead in their sins. They were separated from God. Now, in the Bible, you will read about Jesus raising three individuals from the dead. It's interesting. Three people Jesus raised from the dead. First of all, he rose from the dead the daughter of Jairus. She was a little girl, sick at home. By the time Jesus arrived, she was already dead. The second was a young man from Nain. In Luke chapter 7, you read about this. Jesus met the funeral procession on the way to the graveyard. They were carrying him out, and the mourners were wailing, and Jesus stopped the whole procession and raised that young man back to life. And the third time that Jesus raised someone from the dead is John chapter 11. It's the story of Lazarus. Now, let me ask you this question this morning, and I want you to think about this. The little girl had only been dead for a few hours. The young man had not been dead very long. He's not been buried yet. Lazarus was in the grave for 4 days. So which of these three was the most dead? It's a foolish question. The reality is dead is dead. There's no such thing as a little dead. And the same is true. Now, relate this today, spiritually speaking, people in our world today without Jesus. One person may carry the scars of a rough life. They may bear the burdens of a terrible childhood or a terrible life. Another may be dressed up nice, clean shaving, wearing a nice suit. But the reality is, whether they're dressed up, whether they've experienced a tough childhood, whether they've been beat down by the world, without Christ, all of them are spiritually dead. They are without Christ. They are dead. We notice our cure. Look what the Bible says. Can we notice our text in John 11, verse 20? Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house, verse 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. And Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And verse 25, here is our text. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Now here's what the Bible is teaching us, and it's simple. Life is found in Jesus Christ. He is the resurrection, and because he is the resurrection, he is the life. And we notice how Jesus raised here from the dead. Jesus stands before the grave, and he says, Lazarus, come forth. Some have suggested that he had to say the name of Lazarus, because if he just said, come forth, all the graves would open. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And the Bible says that, oh, comes Lazarus. It was the word of God that made the difference. Can we go in our Bible to John chapter 6, turn back a few pages to the Gospel of John. I want us to notice here a passage of Scripture, John chapter 6, and look what the Bible says. John chapter 6 and verse number 63. John 6, verse number 63. The Bible says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, or the word there, quickeneth, means to be made alive. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, look at this, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. They are life. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I want to remind you the power of the Bible. Do you believe was the message of Jesus? Do you believe? Notice our confidence in verse 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. The confidence is seen in this passage of Scripture that in Jesus we will never die. Now our physical bodies one day will die. This body will decay, but we will never die because Christ is our Savior, and our life, our hope, our salvation is built on Him. I see in this passage of Scripture this hope in Christ, this life that we find from. But I want us to think about, secondly, a life liberated from lust. Look what the Bible says. I love this illustration here, this application. The Bible says in John 11, verse 43, and when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. Someone has experienced this life in Jesus. They've come to Christ for salvation, but they must also exercise this liberty that they have through Jesus Christ. And I want to define terms here. Liberty is not doing whatever you want. Liberty is doing what you ought. Liberty is pleasing the Lord. Someone has said this, there are many Christians that have been to Calvary for pardon, but not have been to Pentecost for power. They are saved, but they are not living in the victory of the Christian life. Someone said they're still entangled by that old life, still wrapped up in those grave clothes, still wrapped up in that old life. And I love what Jesus said. He said, loose them and let them go. This is the liberty that we find in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not just finding life in Jesus. This is finding life more abundantly. This is finding liberty in the Lord. And I want you to know this morning that Jesus doesn't want to just give you life. He wants you to be free today from that old bondage, from that old life. And he wants you to enjoy victory in him. Can I read you some verses? John 8, 32, the Bible says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8, verse 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. What a wonderful thought in the Bible here, that we shall be free from the bondage of our sin and this life in Jesus. But I want us to think about, thirdly, a life lavished in love. Our story continues, and this is why we read the entire story. The Bible says, as we jump down to chapter 12 and verse number 1, look what the Bible says. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, look at this, where Lazarus, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead, there they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus, I love this, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him, from the tomb to the table. And now he's enjoying wonderful fellowship with the Lord. You see, he enjoys life, he enjoys liberty, and now he is enjoying fellowship with Jesus. He's talking with Jesus. Can you imagine the conversation around that table, listening to what Lazarus had to say? You know, Jesus wants this kind of fellowship in your life as well. And often in the life of his disciples, he would bathe them, come and dine, come and dine. There's wonderful fellowship with him. And the reality is, they could talk to Jesus. And you, as a Christian today, we have life, we have liberty, and now we have this fellowship with the Lord that as a Christian, you can talk to him and you can tell him today your sorrows. You can tell him your excitement. You can tell Christ your discouragement and your fears. Lazarus is fellowshipping with Jesus. And he's enjoying this incredible life with the Lord. Lazarus, after he had been raised from the dead, set at liberty from that old life, is fellowshipping with Christ and his people. Think about this. He's fellowshipping, he's worshiping Christ with his people. All of those around the table who have been freed from the penalty of sin, who have been raised from the dead in Jesus Christ, I think we call that a church. I think we gather together and worship and learn from the Bible and fellowship with Jesus and find that encouragement and also be an encouragement. What a wonderful blessing. I see, fourthly, let's look at it together. I see a life lived in loyalty. So the Bible says in verse 12, verse number 9, we're continuing the story of Lazarus here. The Bible says, much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, that they might see Lazarus also, who he had raised from the dead. Now Lazarus is the talk of the town. You could imagine everyone wants to talk to Lazarus. He who had been dead is now alive. And the testimony of Lazarus is making a big difference. People are believing on Jesus because of the testimony of Lazarus. Not everyone's happy, of course. The Bible says in verse 10, but the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. I mean, think about it. He was just raised from the dead, and now they're going to kill him again. I don't think he's too concerned about it. Verse 11, the Bible says, because they, that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Verse 12, and on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. Now, Jesus, again, let's be reminded this morning, he is the resurrection, he is the life. And it's illustrated, I just think, it's illustrated wonderfully in the life of Lazarus. We see Lazarus now is telling other people about Jesus. Many people were coming to Christ to be saved because of the work of Christ in the life of Lazarus. The chief priests consulted that they might put him to death. Lazarus, the one who was already dead. Lazarus, no longer afraid of death. Lazarus no longer living under the bondage of death and sin, but now is free in the Lord. It's just this a wonderful picture today of the Christian life and how, as in the Christian life, we live a life of liberty for the Lord Jesus Christ. And through our testimony and through what Christ has done for us, we can lead many people to the Lord Jesus. What a wonderful blessing. Listen, friend, Jesus wants to give you life today. He wants to free you from your own self and sin. Jesus wants to hear your sorrows. He wants to have a relationship with you. And he wants you to change the lives of others through his work in your life today. This is what he wants to do. You probably know the name Stephen Hawking. In a story to The Guardian, he said this. This is what Stephen Hawking said to The Guardian. He said, heaven is a fairy story or a fairy tale for people afraid of the dark. To which he said, there is no afterlife. Now here's the question I have for you this morning. Are you going to believe a man who never faced death? Or are you going to believe one who is dead, who was dead, and is now alive forevermore? Are you going to believe the one who conquered death, the grave, and sin, and now offers eternal life to all that believe on him? Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. I will save you. I will liberate you. I will give you a wonderful fellowship. And through your testimony of my work in your life, you can impact other people. This is the Christian life, and it is illustrated in Lazarus' life. One last passage of scripture, and I'll be done this morning. Can we turn together to 1 John chapter 5? 1 John chapter 5. And I want us to sum up this message with one verse. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 12. Look what the Bible says here. 1 John, the 5th chapter, the 12th verse. The 12th verse. Look what the Bible says. 1 John 5, verse 12. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things, verse 13, have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. I hope today you know that life provided through him. Let's pray together.